I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I got to tell you, in my hands right now, I have several pages of outrages. That's right. You know, going through the news and looking at what's going on out there in the world, I have to tell you, it gets more frustrating every single day. And who am I frustrated with? Well, I'm frustrated with the Democrats because they're a bunch of liars. And I can't believe that we have a party in this country that has decided to, instead of doing their job, and instead of pursuing truth, they are pursuing political power at the expense of you and me. And I have to say that it frustrates the hell out of me that we have a party that's doing that. And the second group I'm upset with is the media, who is just as corrupt. Now listen, if somebody does something wrong, they should be pursued by whoever it is that is looking to hold someone to account. So if somebody on the Republican side has done something illegal, inappropriate, unjust, then the Democrats would be absolutely in their right to pursue that person, just as the Republicans should pursue a Democrat if they've done something wrong. But in the case we have here, this witch hunt, this coup d'etat, which is continuing against President Trump, I think we are seeing the end of our form of government. I think this situation is hastening this form of our government faster than anything else possibly could, because there's nothing real happening here in this investigation. We have seen almost 3 years of a hoax that has been perpetrated against the President of the United States and all the people who voted for Donald Trump. Now, like him or not, he won the election. And these people have been pursuing him with these fake stories hand in hand and helped by the media. Now, I can't believe that the people that are in the mass media, MSNBC, CNN, I can't believe all of these people in the media don't see the truth for what it is. So therefore, either they're completely stunad, all right, as my grandmother used to say, stupid, dumb, and they really don't understand anything, or they're doing something purposely to not tell the truth, to follow these stories, which that in itself is a corruption that is destroying our country. The press is supposed to be, you know, that strong, hold people to account, part of our government. You know, they're not part of the government, you know what I mean? But they're there so that they can hold government accountable. Our founding fathers saw that a free press, as opposed to a state press, which only follows the words of the government and pretends that that is always the truth, the press was set up so that they could be free, so that they could go after things when they weren't true and get to the truth to give you and me the truth about things. What we're seeing here is that the press now is totally corrupt, and we have lost that part of our constitutional bearing. I mean, the press is supposed to help keep America strong. But the problem is the press, the majority of the press, the mainstream press, no longer believes in traditional America and wants a change. And therefore, their position, their duty, foreseen by the forefathers, is no longer their mission. It's no longer what they are doing. And therefore, that is gone. Right? So this is where we start to see the pieces. You have a piece of pie, and you have a whole pie, fresh, hot Thanksgiving pie, boom, sitting on the windowsill. And every time you walk by, a piece is missing from that pie. Well, do you still have a pie? If you have 8 slices in that pie and one piece is missing, do you still have a pie? Yes, of course you do. Of course you still have a pie. And then you come back 20 minutes later, and now there's a second piece of that pie missing. Do you still have a pie? Yes, of course you still have a pie. It's not a whole pie. It's not like the original pie, but it's still pretty much the original pie. It's changing a little bit. Well, you come back 2 hours later, and there's only 2 pieces left of that pie. Now, do you have a pie or do you have something less than a pie? Well, you have something less than a pie. And when you come back and there is only a tiny little sliver of fruit and crust in that pie, it's only a matter of another bite, another hand in the tin, and you no longer have a pie. It's a lot like our country. You know, what our country started out was that fresh, hot, beautiful Thanksgiving pie. And slowly but surely, pieces of it are being removed purposefully. I think that's a pretty good analogy, especially with the upcoming holidays. So anyway, I'm frustrated with the Democrat Party for relying on lying and trying to separate us in attempt to get power back. I'm frustrated with the media for purposefully helping them. I'm frustrated with my fellow American citizens who are on the other side, which I get they're on the other side. We've talked about this how many times here on Chasing Justice. It's okay to be on the opposite side of a topic. But the thing is, speak in fact. Talk about truth. Make your case to convince people to see your side of things. Lying, cheating, twisting facts, bending opinion to get the answers that you want, that is not reality. That is something less than reality, like a piece of pie missing lots of its pieces. It was a pie. It resembles kind of a pie, but it's not really a pie anymore. And we are down now, I think, to one piece of pie left. We got this one piece of pie left. And the more I look at this, the more I see this reality. It's not going to go in a bang. We're not going to have that big war. But I think what we're seeing, and there's a lot of evidence in it, is that it's coming apart at the seams and it's disappearing right before our eyes. So my frustration with the press and with our Democrat brothers and sisters is that they're allowing this to happen because it suits their aim. That is the most corrupt thing that could possibly happen. Now, the third group I'm annoyed with and probably frustrated with more in some ways, even than the other two, are my own brother and sister Republicans. Not us out here, conservatives and Republicans out here in the country, but I'm talking about our representatives. They have let us down year after year after year to the point now that I don't understand why we don't hear from them loud and clear every single day. You know, Lindsey Graham, you know I've had concerns about him. He's been magnificent in many ways, but in other ways, he seems to have disappeared. And I speculated that, does he think if he's strong in what he considers the right spots, will he be the natural successor to Trump after the second term of President Trump? Would Lindsey Graham be the guy who fought the fight, fought back against the Democrats, against the liberal hordes and the socialism, and then he's the natural guy? Well, if he is, and he's true to that, I would support him. But I have concerns because where is the press conferences every day? Now, Jim Jordan and the Republican congresspeople, these guys at least are fighting back. Dennis Nunes, these guys are fighting back. They hold press conferences. They come out. They go on these news shows, and they're very, very strong. They're trying to do things. I'm not saying that Lindsey Graham does not go on these news shows. He does. But he is the leader. He actually has power. You know, Jim Jordan and Nunes, these guys don't have power anymore. All they can do is go on news shows and make a comment. Lindsey Graham runs a committee that can subpoena people, that can have an equal investigation going on to prove this nonsense corruption. And we are all waiting, I guess. I'm going to give them credit and say that maybe they're waiting for that shoe to drop from Attorney General Barr. Now, I have to say the fact that they opened it as a criminal investigation now, that is helpful to seeking justice, because a criminal investigation potentially can lead to indictments and people being held to account. Now, that would mean trials. That doesn't mean just because someone's indicted that they're guilty. Lots of people get indicted for things and they're found not guilty. So that's fine. But I think we have to at least hold people to account and have somebody on our side, somebody here that sees how wrong this is, what's going on, have some type of power in the situation. And we do have power. We have the United States Senate. Where are these men and women holding daily press conferences with all 50 of them standing at a podium? All 50 of them standing there with Lindsey Graham leading it and saying, this is a scam. Now, the power we have here with this fake impeachment nonsense, because I think President Trump was saying the other day that 19 minutes after he was inaugurated was the first story that came out saying time to impeach the president. 19 minutes after he was actually inaugurated. So where is our Republican brother and sisters in the Senate who have some power to start an investigation, start throwing some subpoenas around, and stand in front of that microphone and say, here's what we're going to do. You're going to impeach the president. It's not bipartisan. Matter of fact, you don't have all the Democrats on board. Two Democrat congresspeople voted against this, you know, setting up this review of to whether or not they're going to have a impeachment. So that means, and all the Republicans voted no. So it's not bipartisan. It's only the Democrats, and it's not even completely unified as the Democrats, because two of them bailed out. Two of them, I'm sure, who are afraid to lose their seats. They don't want to lose power themselves. But hey, they did the right thing. They voted no, so I give them credit. They see this maybe as the corruption that it is. But our Republican brother and sisters every day should be holding a press conference, and I would like to see them come out and say, you know what? We have seen what has gone on so far. And if you come to the Senate with an impeachment, vote, and you vote to impeach this president, when it gets to the Senate, we will immediately dismiss it as a partisan political coup d'etat, and we will get rid of it immediately. This will not go down in American history as a true and genuine use of the impeachment power. Now, impeachment power is extremely powerful, and it's important. Because we know throughout history, we do get a rogue individual who will commit a crime while in office or conduct themselves in such a way that they should be removed. That's a reality. But that is not the reality of Donald Trump. Okay? So that's my opening commentary. That's what I'm frustrated about. That's what I'm annoyed about. And those are the people I'm annoyed about too. And, you know, and I hope to think that you're annoyed with them also. All right, so let's go and take that now, and let's start moving to what I want to talk about today, is how we see these veiled lies and this corruption, how this corruption leads to lying and is further damaging our American form of government and our way of life, how this Thanksgiving pie that is America is being taken apart piece by piece till there's hardly anything left in that tin. And that's kind of how I'm going to frame this whole thing. So let's look at the transcript of the call, because that's what they put their eggs in a basket of. All right, so here was this call by President Trump to the president of Ukraine, where he was calling to find out, hey, what happened in the 2016 election? Why? Well, let's go over the reasons. Number one, it came out recently that the Ukraine government participated actively with the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Obama White House to try and hurt Trump in the last election. Wouldn't that be collusion? That they colluded with a foreign government to hurt Trump in the 2016 election. There's your collusion. But the press, the corrupt press, ignores that. That is a damaging wound to our country that is almost impossible to get over when the press, who is there to be the champions of truth and justice, see truth and ignore it for a lie. That is an evil that's taking place right in front of us. Okay? So the transcript. So the president, I have to say, Trump was pretty smart to actually release the transcript, because the whole Adam Schiff, made up rendition of what he said the letter said was already written. When he got up there, he did not expect, none of them expected Trump to release that transcript. And that I think, is what screwed them all up, because he came out with that. Now, listen to me seven times. Seven times, I'm all I'm going to say it. You better get dirt on Biden, when he never, ever said, you better get something on Joe Biden. What he said was, he wanted to figure out, hey, you guys know what happened here in Ukraine. If you could talk to our attorney general about that, we'd really like to find out if you can help us out. Now, here's part number two. We know the Hillary Clinton campaign colluded with Ukraine to hurt Donald Trump in the 2016 election. We know that. A Ukrainian court came out and declared that that was the case. All right? The new government apologized to Trump for working against him with the Hillary Clinton campaign. Now, it wasn't the government that's in place there now, it was the previous one, but they apologized for that, for what they had done in the last election. So here you have, at least, if nothing else, you have a smoking gun that shows collusion, but they're not interested in it. Now, Trump releases the transcripts, and these people all sit back and they don't know what to do, so they just keep going with the lie. Uh-oh. Now they're going to start this impeachment inquiry because, oh my God, this was such a terrible thing. And then we have these witnesses, these whistleblowers, and we've talked in the past about the whistleblowers, why they chose to use a whistleblower. Because first of all, a whistleblower by law should remain anonymous, and you can't call them out. Therefore, they could be anyone, right? The whistleblower could have been Hillary Clinton. She called it in, and she came up with this concocted story because this whole thing has been concocted. So she could be the whistleblower, and you're not allowed to find out who it is. So therefore, you have this anonymous, nebulous, in-the-background person that's making this complaint, and everyone jumps up and down screaming and hollering, there it is, there's the smoking gun against Trump, we have the proof. But then when you realize, when you look at what these people had to say, they weren't actually on the call. They heard from someone else how bad it was. Then they have apparently another whistleblower who was on the call. And what this person didn't like was didn't like what they heard the president talking about. Now, isn't that not liking the president's policy or the way the president conducted himself? And then we hear the transcript. We read the transcript, and in there he says nothing about you better go get Biden. I want you to dig up dirt on Biden. I want you to go after Biden. That's not what he asked. So that is fantasy land that came up, but they're using that as their backdrop, because they have, you know, these witnesses who all of a sudden have instant credibility. They are the ones that should be believed, not the president and not the transcript. So, of course, what was the next step? Well, the transcript is not the real transcript, okay? That's what the witnesses are saying. It was not the real transcript. He left a lot of things. He left the things out that make him guilty. So, therefore, we can't trust that. Now, is there any proof to that? No. How about the fact that we have the Ukrainian president came out and said, I didn't feel pressured. I didn't think they were holding that money back to make me go after Joe Biden. That should be end of story. You have Donald Trump saying that's not what happened. You have the president he spoke to on the call saying that's not what happened. And you have the transcript that does not indicate in any way, shape, or form he did that. But instead of looking at those facts, instead of the press reporting that and going back to the Democrats, and instead of groveling up going, oh, so the whistleblower says he did it, that he lied, and that this is all fake. Everyone's lying except for the whistleblower and the Democrats. Instead of saying that, why doesn't one of these news people actually conduct an investigation and look at the facts and say, well, the facts indicate very clearly that that is not what happened. Why don't they do that? Because it's all a scam. It's a scam that they're continuing with because they can, because there's nothing to shut them down, because our Republican brothers and sisters in the Senate did not get up every single day and say, we're dismissing this the minute it gets to us. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice, and I am a little frustrated today. We'll be back in a minute with round two.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, then. All right, all right, all right. Thank you, Matthew McConaughey. Matthew's in the studio with me. I'm only kidding. I just like to do his voice. All right, all right, all right, all right. Does anybody know what movie that's from? That's right. I'm not going to tell you. Go ask somebody. What movie is Matthew McConaughey going? All right, all right, all right. It's right, one of his favorite taglines. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. This network is dynamic, and I talk about this all the time, and I say it all the time. And for those of you who listen regularly, I really appreciate it. Go and tell other people how to find us, right? How to find Chasing Justice, how to find Viewpoint, how to find Lieutenant Randy, how to find Ava, how to find all these other people on this network. It is really a fantastic place to be. And we are lucky we have this option, right? You're getting straight talk here. I got to tell you, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and not once have I had anybody from the network call me up, email me, and say, listen, you better talk about this. You better say this. You ought to say that. We're strongly suggest. They don't do that. They say, you have an opinion. You have a voice. Go ahead and say your opinion. So that's an amazing, that is free speech. That's the real thing. So when I call somebody to account, when I say how I'm feeling, you know you're getting the true thing. If you have something to say, if there's something you want to talk about, you can reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me by email at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. That's the letter J, P as in Peter, A-N-G-A-R-O, at americaoutloud.com. You can find me on Twitter. All right, it's at Pangaro Global, right? There's lots and lots of people on there. We go back and forth. We all have things to say. It's really a fun and exciting thing to do, at Pangaro Global. So if you don't follow me, get on there and follow me, and I'll follow you back, and we can have a conversation. We can bring up some topics. I like to have ideas to talk about what's important to you, and we'll get it going. So that's really the beauty of America Out Loud. So I do like it. I'm also trying to help calm myself down, because that first segment got me going a little bit with my frustration. And I did say that my Republican brother and sisters frustrate me probably the most, because they do. They need to stand up. And I'm trying to get past that. But we all got to call Congress. We got to dial the phone. That's the only way they pay attention, to know that you're out here. Because you know we're the silent majority, right? We go to work every day. We do our thing. We're not screaming and hollering. We're not marching in the street. What we can do is pick up the phone and call them every day. Dial them every day and tell them, hey, get out there and do the right thing, right? And if they don't, if your congressman, if your senator doesn't do the right thing, choose somebody else and primary them. Get rid of them and get somebody else in there that will stand up and say the right thing. You know, I'm hoping that of all the things that comes out of the Trump administration, I'm hoping that our Republican politicians start to realize that, you know, wanting to be liked by everybody, hoping that the press will not beat you up and will not call you a hater and all this other nonsense, that's not real. They're going to say that no matter what, unless you believe anything but their socialist line. Anything other than that, they're going to attack you. So you're never going to make friends with them, right? If nothing else, Trump is teaching everyone you need to fight back. No matter what they say, fight back. Don't give in to their nonsense. If they say something that's not true, go back at them. Don't just apologize for it, trying to make everybody feel better. Don't be politically correct. Do the right thing. Stand up for truth and justice, right? Push back on them. Okay, so we were working our way through this, you know, the big Thanksgiving pie of America and where it's going and how it's being eaten up. So we talked about the transcript. So, of course, the very next thing that they come back with once the transcript comes out and there is pushback is that, well, the transcript is fake. That's the only thing it can be, is fake, because our witnesses are saying something different. Well, you see, the whistleblowers are protected by anonymity. They won't come forward now. They won't go testify. Republicans are not allowed to ask questions. Wasn't it Adam Schiff that just last week in his secret hearings that he's having, the Republicans aren't allowed to ask questions? And when he did let them ask some questions, he told the witnesses not to answer? Like when an answer started coming out that the Republicans were trying to get to, he told them, don't answer, don't answer. You don't have to answer that. That's not appropriate. We're not. Why would you not let the guy or the girl answer? Answer the question that's being asked to them. Because he doesn't want this stuff to come out. He wants to lead it. It's fake. It's fake. It's a corruption, right? It's taking another piece of our pie. If we don't have fairness and justice in our systems of government, we have nothing. Because it's a very small step from controlling what somebody says in a hearing, what questions they're allowed to ask in a hearing seeking truth and justice, to coming after you and not letting you answer for yourself, not letting you have a defense for what they come after you for, charge you for. You're not allowed to do that. All you're allowed to do is plead guilty. Do you see how this leads to tyranny? This is the slow drip of tyranny. We're seeing it right in front of us. And I'm not a conspiracy person, you know that. But when things are right in front of our face, we have to recognize them for what they are. Okay, so the witnesses, you know, and what are the witnesses giving us? Are they giving us alternate transcripts that they took down? No, really, all these witnesses are coming forward with their opinions of what they thought President Trump was saying, their opinion of how it sounded to them, their opinion of what they thought the words meant. Well, the easiest answer to that, the simplest answer to that, is to go to the person that President Trump was speaking to and ask him, did you feel he was trying to push you to do? And we already said this. They went to the president of Ukraine. He said, I didn't feel pressured at all. I didn't think he was holding any money back for the military so that I go after Biden. I did not feel that. That's the end of the case in the real world. In the bizarro world, where up is down, back is forth, right is wrong, of our Democrat friends, truth and justice don't matter. We're just going to keep pushing forward with our lie. And who was it that said that? I hate to refer to anybody, but somebody in history said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. You know, because that's human nature. That's human nature. All right, so we have these people, these witnesses coming forward who won't come forward, who are hiding behind their anonymity. We don't know who they are. Could be Hillary Clinton, right? Could be anybody out there that's making up stuff, Democrat partisans. And we're not allowed to question them. Now, this whistleblower says, well, I'll answer questions in writing. I'm not coming forward. Now, why would you not want to come forward? Well, here's why. Very simple. If you ask me a question and I can put it in writing, I can have Adam Schiff and 28 other people concoct a perfect answer that doesn't stray from the story they want to tell. If I'm sitting in a witness stand under oath and I have to answer questions and I'm not telling the truth, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to reveal myself for the liar that I am. I'm going to reveal the hoax. And they don't want to do that. So they're now all of a sudden, well, the whistleblower is not that important. We're going to proceed with it because this is what we think happened. Well, you have proof that it didn't. And they're still continuing. That is a corruption, ladies and gentlemen. That's another piece of the pie being eaten. All right. All right. And we talked about where is our GOP senators. Now, we have the candidates running for president out there. Well, first of all, I want to say goodbye to Mr. Beto, right? Bye-bye, Beto. We hate to see you go. Not really. I'm glad he's gone. I thought he was strange. You know, when he first came out, when he ran for Senate, I thought he looked strong. You know, I thought he did look like a strong candidate. I said, wow, here's a guy that seems very persuasive for the Democrat Party. Young, good-looking guy, handled himself pretty well in this presidential campaign. I think he revealed himself for the person with lots of issues that I think he is. And I think I'll leave it at that. But bye-bye, Beto. We hate to see you go. No, we don't. We're glad you're gone. But to continue the line here, Pelosi and Schiff have come out and said that they're all about getting to the truth. All this is about the truth, right? We hear the Democrat candidates for president talking about bringing America together. That's what needs. Trump is divisive. Trump is divisive with his words and his deeds, and he's divisive, and we have to bring people together. Well, do they really mean bringing all of us together by coming up with these socialist, left-wing, nutty, crazy, anti-American plans that would destroy America? You know, there's 63 million of us out here who voted for Trump, who have no interest whatsoever in going to socialism. So how are they going to bring us together exactly? Okay, the only reason that they're saying that, you know, Trump is separating people is because he's not following the line, you see? He's fighting back. He's saying what millions of us say all the time but have no voice to say, right? And these Democrat candidates, they're talking about they're going to bring us together. Well, how exactly are you going to bring us together when you don't believe in anything that we believe in? Matter of fact, not only do you not believe in the things we believe in, which that's fine. You can have your own opinion. It's what America's about. You know, sell your case. Make your case. If it's better than what I believe, I'll join you. They really want to only say bring people together. Who are they trying to bring together? Where's the outreach to us? Where is this Elizabeth Warren who wants to have a, what was it, some $90 trillion plan now, healthcare, and take away my private healthcare because it's her plan that she thinks is, where's her reaching out to me and going, listen, okay, Trump voter, I know truth and justice and lower taxes and smaller government's important to you, so here is how I'm going to reach out to you. We need a healthcare plan for the people who are not covered. Everyone else can keep their stuff. And then we'll solve the problem of people without healthcare insurance without hurting you. Well, you know what? I would be in favor of that. That's something that maybe the government could maybe do. And I'm not a big fan of government doing things. But if anything, if you have a group of people who are chronically uninsured and we can create a pool somehow for them, not with my tax dollars, but with other government money that's out there, that they could buy into very cheaply and have catastrophic healthcare, I would be for that. Because I don't want people to go without healthcare. I know how horrible it is when you have something, a hospitalization or something, and you don't have money. It can be devastating to your family. I mean, you wipe out somebody's finances, you lose, the banks don't not come to your house and kick you out. They do. You'll lose everything. All right? So that's a problem. So how exactly are they going to bring us together without coming our way at all? Or do they mean that they're going to be so persuasive that we need to come to them? See, that's the problem. They're not reaching out to us, right? I think conservative answers, and the reason I believe I'm a conservative is because I think the conservative answers to things are the things that will work for everyone, right? A conservative answer can work for everybody. Lower taxes helps businesses to grow. Then people have jobs. Aren't we seeing that? Aren't we seeing that take place? You lower the taxes on business, and then businesses invest more. They grow. Right? That's how it works. It doesn't work the other way, by taking everybody's money and redistributing it. That does not work. It's been tried in other places, other times, and it doesn't work. Why don't they see that? Why is it that I see that and you see that and they don't? So how are we going to come together here? How is this going to happen? Right? The only way it's going to happen is if I realize how wrong I am and I come towards them, because they're not coming towards us. Where's their plans for us? Right? So that's all a lie. Now, to continue on this theme, you see how I'm wrapping this theme here? You know, we got the Thanksgiving pie and how it's going out. Let's look around the world. We know that Schiff and Pelosi are following a lie. They come out and they've already determined by saying, though, that they want to get to the facts, but they come out with a statement that says Trump has already abused his power. Trump has already been a traitorous to the nation. Really? That's searching for the truth? When you come out and make those declarative statements like that? No, that's not searching for the truth. That's trying to find enough information to back up your point of view. See, and that's a corruption. That's a corruption of truth and justice. And the media doesn't call it out because the media wants to follow it because it meets their ends too. That's another corruption. You see how all corruption leads to corruption, okay? All right, so where else can we see this? Where else do we see this out there in the world? Here's my pages of outrages. I'm telling you, I have to make notes on these things because there's so much of it drives me crazy. So recently, Joy Behar, comedian. Now, I guess if you go out and you tell jokes and people think your jokes are funny and they're willing to listen to you and plunk money down to go and hear you tell your jokes, suddenly that makes you some kind of a genius, some kind of a policy expert, something. But that's what we do with celebrity in our country. We allow celebrities to stand up in front of us because they have a voice that people will listen to, and then they declare things, whether or not they're experts in it or not, and then people take them seriously. You know, Rush, I love Rush. I've been listening to Rush forever. He brought this up years ago. They had an actress years ago who was playing the wife of a farmer during hard times in the... So when the Congress was looking into some problems in farming, you know, financing and farming, they called this actress in to testify. What the hell does she know about the problems on the farm? She's an actress who played a farmer. But this is what in America counts for expertise. So Joy Behar, she comes out and, you know, she's obviously very left-wing, very anti-Trump. I don't like her. I don't like her. I just don't like her opinions, and I don't like the way she comes across with them. If she had a different way of delivering her opinion, it might be easier to listen if we had a conversation about what she thought. But instead, if you don't think like her, you're a hater, you're a dirtbag, you're a this, you're a that. And is that bringing people together? No, that doesn't bring people together. That separates us. But anyway, Joy Behar comes out recently, and she's talking about the Democrats. She's giving advice to the Democrats that are running for office. And she's specifically, you know, talking about Beto, who came out and said, when it comes to guns, you're darn right I'll take their guns. Okay, so they are revealing themselves, in this group anyway, the most that has ever have. They're admitting that they're socialists. They're admitting that they would grab your guns. They're admitting that they would limit your speech. They admit all of these things that we always knew they would do. This group is really coming out and saying they would do that. And young people really, to a large extent, agree with them. You know, hate speech should be disallowed. But who decides what's hate speech? Oh, their little cabal will determine what's hate speech. But I digress, as a man with a grievance often does. Let me get back to Joy Behar. So she's talking to the Democrats, and she's giving them some advice. And her great advice to them was, listen, if you're running for office and you intend to take people's guns, don't tell them that when you're campaigning, right? Don't tell them you're that. Don't say you're going to do that. Wait until you get elected and then just do it. Does that sound like someone who's being truthful? You know, isn't that what our friends on the left have always done with their socialist points of view when we accuse them of being socialist? Remember, there was a time when you accuse someone of being a socialist and they would stomp their feet and deny it. And it was almost like, how do you call them a socialist? Now, they're blatantly socialist and they're not afraid to say it. And Joy Behar now is part of that cabal. And she's out there saying, hey, if you're a Democrat and you're running for office and you're going to tax the hell out of people, you're going to take away their free speech, and you're going to take their guns, don't tell them that because they won't vote for you. Get elected telling them whatever the hell they need to hear so you get elected, and then go do those things. Do you see that corruption there? That's another piece of that pie. We're down to some crumb and some fruit in the bottom of the tin, ladies and gentlemen. And when you have these people now coming forward telling you what they're going to do to you, you better listen, okay? We'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Woohoo! All right, welcome back. This is round three, ding, 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 of Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I'm loving being here with you. I'm feeling much better by round three. See, it's kind of cathartic for me, you know, to know that you're out there listening and I'm sitting here talking and, you know, to get my points of view out. It helps me to clear my head when all these things are going on. And I don't feel comfortable until I've said them. So, yes, that's me taking a drink. I apologize. I know that drives him crazy back at the station, but I have a little bit of a cold, so I need a little bit of water. And you know what? You're my friend, so I can have a little drink of water. All right? So, this is kind of a This segment, I think we're going to finish up here with a run through of a bunch of things. I had a great experience recently. I had a great interview with somebody, and I'm going to tell you all about it. But Baghdadi the terrorist. Right? Am I saying that right? Baghdadi, this pompous individual who was a enemy of America, who has been part of killing thousands of people across the world. He was recently captured. He was confronted, and he decided, like a coward, to kill himself instead of coming forward. And he took some children with him. You know, he took his kids with him. He blew himself up when our dynamic, fantastic, tremendous United States military found him and chased him down into a tunnel where the coward blew himself up. All right, that was a good thing. That was a great thing. I have to say kudos to the military who handled it. Kudos to everybody who was part of the planning, to the intel groups, everybody. And kudos to President Trump for pulling the trigger and saying, go get him, right? You got to have guts to do these things. We have to fight back in every way. And just so anybody that's listening, my friends on the left, and I know you are, you know, I know you're out there listening. I said the same thing about Obama, which I didn't care for his policies. But when he went after bin Laden and he got bin Laden, he was the guy that made the call. Go get him. That was a gutsy move. And I thought it was a great thing for him to do. Probably the best thing he did in his presidency. Even though he wasn't directly involved, he gave the order. He was charged with that power to make that call, and he did. And I applaud him for that. Because we have to go after America's enemies. We cannot let them sit back. Same thing with all of these enemies that come after us. In our Congress, we have to make sure we go after people whenever they're trying to hurt us. Now, is that too aggressive to say? We have to go after people who come after us? You know, the terrorists? Terrorists have to know. They're willing to often give up their lives for their cause. That's a reality. That's why they put on suicide vests. That's why they attack people and they expect to die. Because they're committed to their cause. Well, we have to be just as committed to let them know that if they are going to attack us, they're going to get hit back twice as hard, if not 10 times as hard. It's going to be punishing for them to hurt us. Isn't that true with everything? Which is, you know, this whole fraud they're perpetrating on us, this coup d'etat we're seeing right in front of us. If Attorney General Barr and the Department of Justice does not come out and smack back really hard, it's going to send a message that you can do this again sometime. No big deal, because, you know, you're politicians and you'll get away with it, and it's just politics. It's not. It's destroying America. So when people come after you, you got to fight back. Didn't I say that before? Trump's teaching, hopefully teaching some of these Republicans, you better fight back. All right? So that's my thought on that, okay? So I'm looking through. Baghdadi is dead, and that's a good thing, right? Enemies of America that kill our citizens, that hurt us, that plot to hurt us, that inspire other people to take trucks during our holidays and drive them down the street and kill people. We have to remove them from decent society. And I don't know any other way to do it than to go and get them physically and remove them. God forgive me for that thought, because I guess I should turn the other cheek, but not when they're killing our people. I'll have to deal with that one. General Flynn, here's another case of fraud. Now, I'm an investigator for many years, a police officer, detective, supervisor, commander. I know a lot of my brother and sister officers are out there, and there's families of brother and sister officers. You know, one of the basic fundamentals of an investigation is when you have a target of the investigation or someone you think may be involved in whatever you're investigating, and you bring them into your place to talk to them with the intent to get something incriminating out of them, something you will use against them. Our system demands that we advise them of their Miranda rights. Now, Miranda is a case that goes back to the 1960s, where an individual named Miranda was arrested by the police, and he was questioned without being told he could have a lawyer, without understanding his constitutional rights, and he gave a confession. And the court looked at that and said, that's not right. You know, if people don't know, you should tell them. Now, there's a whole world of thought on that. If I'm the police, and I am tasked with protecting society and going out and investigating crime, and now I have a suspect, you know, it seems antithetical to my mission, for the very first thing I do is sit down with this person and say, hey, by the way, you don't have to talk to me, because if you do, you're going to jail and you might want to get a lawyer, because it's going to be bad for you if you committed this crime and I get you to tell me you did, you're going to jail. You know, it would seem that that's probably not the place for the investigator to do that. But if we don't do that, if we don't do that as law enforcement community, you know, what is our purpose? Our purpose to uphold justice. So is part of upholding justice and fairness making sure that our opponent in that room knows the rules? Think about it. Who is our opponent? Are these just innocent citizens that we got sitting there that we're trying to catch doing something? Or are these murderers, rapists, violent people that have done terrible things to other human beings, to innocent people, to children, to women, to men? And we have to protect their rights at the same time we're trying to get the evidence on them to convict them. It's a little conflicting for law enforcement. But you know what? Our courts have said we have to do it and have said it's the right thing to do. So therefore, law enforcement does it. That's what you do. That is part and parcel of the investigation. Now, I'll let you in on a little inside thing that investigators all across the country would tell you the truth. Psst, hey, guess what? Even if you tell somebody their rights, most people will talk to you anyway. Right? So you advise them of their rights. They waive their rights. They say they're willing to talk to you. Then you get the confession that you can use against them to gather evidence, put them in prison, get them away from the rest of the decent society, right? And why is it that somebody will waive their rights and talk to you? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, if somebody gets read their rights in a criminal investigation and they won't talk to you, what does that usually mean? Well, what most people think it means is, well, if I don't talk to the cops, that must mean I'm guilty. So therefore, I'll waive my rights and I'll talk my way out of this. Okay? So most people will waive their rights because they figure, hey, if I don't talk to the cop, they're going to say that means I'm guilty. So I'll try and get over. Right? That's a good thing, because a lot of guilty people will waive their rights and talk to us. You don't have to threaten them. You don't have to beat them. You have to do any of that nonsense you see on TV. You build a bond with somebody and you advise them of their rights. They usually waive and then they'll talk to you. General Flynn, an American hero, was tricked by Comey and the FBI people involved in the cabal against our president. This is one of the most egregious things that I'm going to say that they did. Now, I love the FBI. I love the men and women. I've worked with the men and women of the FBI my entire career, all the federal agencies, local state police. It was the leadership at this particular time during this coup d'etat that is really corrupt. So here you have General Flynn. They invite him in for a conversation, and then they trick him into thinking that it's just a conversation. We know that because Mr. Comey has said as much. You know, he said, hey, in the first couple days of the Trump White House, when we knew they wouldn't be prepared for this, we said, hey, we send a couple guys over to talk to you. Oh, yeah, sure, okay, because you know what? They think we're all on the same team. They think we're all fighting for justice and truth and honesty. And besides, Trump had nothing to hide, which has been proved at this point. There was no collusion, nothing to hide. Sure, come over and talk to the general. So the FBI comes over, not understanding the cabal and the coup d'etat that was going on in the background. And by their own words, they say they wanted to make the general feel comfortable. They wanted to make him feel relaxed so that he would say things. So he would talk. When he wanted to know if he needed an attorney, no, you don't need an attorney. We're just talking. Well, let me tell you right now, Mr. and Mrs. America, Chasing Justice Land, if Detective Joe has somebody sitting in a chair that I suspect of committing a crime, and I'm talking to them, and that person says to me, do I need an attorney? Well, I had better advise them of their right to have an attorney, that if they don't want to talk to me, they can speak with an attorney, that if they can't afford an attorney, I will make sure that they go to the court and the court will get them an attorney. The minute the L word, the lawyer word, is brought up in any way, you have to positively respond to that. If you do anything less than that, when somebody says, do I need a lawyer, and you know they're the target of your investigation, by decency and by law enforcement standards, they should have said, well, General, we're investigating some things we think you may be involved in. You have a right to remain silent. You have a right to speak with an attorney. They should have advised him of his Miranda rights. Instead, they jumped past that. They wanted to make him feel comfortable. They were corrupt, and they used this feeling of everything's really okay, we're just talking. And then they turned around and went after the man. And then in the most vile way possible, they made it out that they would go after his son if he didn't tell them what he wanted to know. Now, we heard that one judge, and I wish I could remember his name. He was a judge along the way who was very upset in the Manafort case because he said basically to the prosecutors, I know what you were trying to do here. You wanted Mr. Manafort to talk, so you turned up the screws. You didn't want him to talk. You wanted him to sing. In other words, make up what you wanted him to say. And there are prosecutors that will do that. They're unethical, and it's inappropriate. And anyone like that should be removed from the profession. You know, if we are the good guys and the good girls, and we wear the white hats, and we do the right thing, that means doing the right thing even for the people that do bad things, right? If we don't do it for everybody, just like free speech, if free speech isn't free speech, if it's limited free speech, then it's not really free speech. Well, if we're the good guys and good girls, we wear the white hats and we're out there to protect and serve and do all of that stuff, then we look out for everyone at that point in the investigation, make sure we do it right. And they didn't do that with General Flynn. They tricked him on purpose. And then they used that against him to charge him, ruin his life, right? Cost him everything, and then threatened to go after his kids till he pled guilty. The bright side of this seems to be, and I say seems to be because I'm not in the middle of it, but it seems to me when they put off sentencing multiple times that that judge who's listening to all of this and starts to realize what's going on here, as the more and more this coup d'etat comes out, this judge is saying, wait a minute, this was a miscarriage of justice, what happened here to this general, to this good American hero who was tricked into this because they were trying to drag him in to this coup d'etat. And I don't know if we're going to go that way. I don't know if we're going to go that way. So I think the light at the end of the tunnel is that we got a judge out there who's looking at truth and justice and saying, this is not right what happened here. Judge is kind of putting maybe a piece of that pie back. At least he was trying when he heard that. Okay, so we'll see what happens with General Flynn. But this is some of the things that are going around out there. The Paris Climate Accord. We have actually started the formal removal, according to the newspapers, of the Paris Climate Accord, which really is a good thing, because how is that good for the United States that we're involved in this thing that limits what we can do, how we can do it, when the rest of the world doesn't follow it and simply pollutes as much as they want, but only for 20 more years. Then they have to jump in line, and the Americans are supposed to pay billions of dollars. This is nonsense. This is another left-wing power grab at controlling what we can do in our country, taking our money to use it towards these left-wing ideals. This is a bigger thing going on than most of us really have time to realize. You know, this leftist push, which is really linked to what I say all the time, the default position of humanity is to live under tyranny, because that's how human beings have always been. So all of this left-wing nonsense going on all around the world that we're seeing is all part of that same reality of humankind. America is a unique and beautiful and wonderful place that is unique to all of mankind. And people that don't see that, I don't understand that either. That they can't see what a gift this traditional America of freedom is. Now, I don't mean going back to the bad things about America. I hate having to say that, but the idiots, and I hate to say that too, but the idiots out there that, well, you didn't say, what you mean is you want to go back to all those. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is the original intent of the founding fathers and the beauty and the wonder of what America is for everyone. Even those people that weren't included originally. It's for all of us. That's our enlightenment. Our enlightenment does not mean to tear down the country, rip it apart, throw it out, and come up with some new idea. It means to realize the sins of the past, overcome them, and make sure that this blanket of freedom and justice and beauty that is America covers everyone that is here. Okay? That's what it means. So watching all of this together, as we go through all of this, you know, the phone call nonsense, the coup d'etat, the media, the lies of Pelosi and Schiff, the blatant disregard of facts and truth is all a part of this great big mess that I see, that my frustration. And I'm trying to think of how else to come across there. But every once in a while, you see some things that are hopeful. Okay. Now, with all of the kneeling in sports, again, another attack on America, kneeling. I understand that maybe some of those players in the NFL have a grievance that they feel is real. Maybe they feel it's real, and I don't, because I don't have their experience. You know, we've said this before, even the guys in the neighborhood, we talked about it. Maybe they feel their experience is different than what I see. I don't know. I didn't live their experience. They didn't live mine. So they feel the way to call attention to that is to kneel. Well, what I say is, I understand you may have a grievance, but by sticking your finger in the eye of all the rest of your brother and sister Americans who don't believe that, who see it as an attack on our men and women in the military, our law enforcement, our history, our tradition, our decency of America. By kneeling, you're hurting everybody else. Okay, let's listen to your grievance. Let's see what we can do to help you. That's what Americans do. That's what a family does. But don't be recalcitrant and kneel and stick your finger in everybody's eye, because that just creates a division. Okay? So I'm saying we're willing to listen to the grievance. Long and short. We know that. So I started watching football again, and I've seen less and less of it. And because the reason I started listening and watching again is because I realized there were a bunch of guys in the NFL that were not kneeling, that didn't see it that way, that didn't like the kneeling. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not supporting them by being angry with the guys that are kneeling. So I started to go back and watch, okay? And there's been less and less of it, and I'm happy to see that. But when we see sports teams, traditionally when they win and they're invited to the White House to meet the president, you know, we all know that that happens. And they go there to the White House, and it's a great opportunity for the team to go to the Oval Office. You know, they won a championship. You know, they started out as little kids, and they worked hard their whole life through college or whatever, and they win a championship. And that's fantastic. That's a great thing. They go to the White House to meet the president, and he gives them a, you know, handshake or whatever. That's a great thing. But we have all these players now saying, I'm not going to the White House because Trump is divisive. In the face of all these people on the left who are divisive, the Joy Behars who are saying, lie to everybody, then take their guns and their free speech. You know, Schiff and Pelosi who are lying and making things up to damage our country. But that's okay. Trump who's saying, hey, stand up for truth and justice and be America, America first. That's evil. That's bad. You're not going to go to the White House? I think it's ridiculous. But we did have, guys from the Washington Nationals who won the World Series. Hey, congratulations to them. They won a World Series. They're in history. It's fantastic. So what's, we got Ryan Zimmerman and Kurt Suzuki. Both were proudly meeting the president. Ryan Zimmerman said to Trump, hey, thank you for keeping America great, the greatest country in the world. And Mr. Suzuki wore a MAGA hat, you know, when he was talking to the president. So there are some hopeful moments that we have out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you spending this afternoon with me and every day at 3 o'clock here on America Out Loud. Let's look up. The holidays are coming. Let's find it in our heart to love each other, do the right thing, and call your congressmen and call your senators and tell them, get on the ball, do the right thing, and end this nonsense. Let's keep America, America. We'll talk to you soon here on Chasing Justice.